mobile glass replacement. Shield and door glass replacement. Free pickup and delivery. Gary Zell's Auto Glass, 352-0836.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times, today with a high of 7 above. Southeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy, tonight, lows around 4 above. Chance for snow, tomorrow, highs around 26, overcast. High temperatures reach up to 2 below, Monday, under partly cloudy skies. 3 above, Tuesday, about an inch of snow, tomorrow. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Right now, 10 below.
Good morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Busy day yesterday with a lot of basketball. 281 Conference Girls Basketball Tournament had their first round games in Woolsey. The four top seeds all advanced to the semifinals scheduled for Monday night. Tournament open, Sanborn Central Woonsocket cruised to a 72-17 win over Iroquois. Iroquois led by Katie Dubrow with 10 points. For the Blackhawks, Megan Poyer had 18. Abby Doring added 14. Woolsey Wessington defeated Wessington Springs 64-53. For the Warbirds, Kaylin Krause 18 points. Chantel Hyder 15. Taylor Sprecher had 13. For Wessington Springs, Grace Grand put in 20 points. Chastity Vishia had 10. Highmore Herald cruised past James Valley Christian 67-19. For Highmore Herald, Rebecca Buchholz 16 points. Haley Croplin added 14. And Hitchcock Tulare defeated Sunshine Bible 53-22. For the Patriots, Elizabeth Salmon put in 21 points. Tyler Schoen and Dannon Peterson each had 10. For Sunshine Bible, Susan Wilkin had 10 points. Here on Tiger, boys and girls basketball returned to play last night as well. They were home and away with the Watertown Arrows. Both games went in a similar fashion, and both games resulted in a Watertown win. In the girls game, Huron had a 1-point lead at halftime, but then Watertown jumped out to an 11-point lead by the end of the third quarter and defeated the Tigers 54-44. For Huron, Haven Hines had 16 points, Gracie Schoenfelder 6 points and 12 rebounds. In the boys' game, Watertown led by 1 point at halftime and then scored the first 8 points of the third quarter. Never looked back as they defeated Huron by a score of 55-44. Both Tiger teams are off here now for the weekend. They'll be at Mitchell on Tuesday. Gymnastics, Huron Tigers held the second annual Huron Invitational at Tiger Activities Center. Four teams in the event. Mitchell wins at 145.55. Watertown second, 143.8. Huron had one of their high scores of the season at 133. Sioux Falls Lincoln fourth at 131.6. Leading the way for Huron, Erica Zell was third on the vault, fifth on the beam, second on the floor, tied for seventh in the all-around. Cassie Decker was tied for sixth on the vault, tied for eighth on the beam. Sarah Christensen was tied for tenth on the vault. Get back to basketball. Some area scores from last night for girls. Redfield Dolan defeated Duel 62-38. Not an area score, but a score of note anyway. West Central edged defending champion St. Thomas More 46-44 in overtime. That snapped a 48-game win streak for St. Thomas More. Area boys scores from last night. DeSmit defeated Elkton Lake Benton 64-50. And Redfield Dolan defeated Duel 58-47. Some AA scores last night. Girls, Brandon Valley rolled over Pier 58-41. Boys, Harrisburg defeated Aberdeen 74-47. Omaha Bryan, Nebraska defeated Sioux Falls Roosevelt 72-66. And Pier defeated Brookings 58-45. That's the rundown of high school basketball last night. Some college basketball scores. Minnesota Moorhead defeated Augustana 75-64. Sioux Falls rolled over Bemidji State 63-43. Northern topped Wayne State, Nebraska 81-71. Dakota State defeated Viterbo 81-62. Turning over to men's college basketball last night, Augustana defeated Minnesota Moorhead 95-85, Bemidji State 74, Sioux Falls 68, Northern edged Wayne State 71-69, Viterbo defeated Dakota State 68-59. Hockey, the Huron All-Stars were in Watertown last night. High-scoring game. Huron held off a late Watertown rally to win it 7-5. Watertown scored the final three goals of the game in the third period, but Huron wins it. Walker Schiltz, four goals and an assist. Lucas Snyder, two goals. Xavier Erickson, one goal, four assists. And Spencer Bush had two assists to lead Huron boys hockey last night. Let's take a look at the schedule for today. 281 Conference Boys Basketball Tournament gets underway today with the first round over in Woolsey. We'll have all four games on the air here on KOKK, 1210 AM. 1 o'clock this afternoon, 2-seed Highmore Herald will play number 7-seed Wessington Springs, followed by number 3, Woolsey Wessington, and number 6-seed Iroquois. Then at 4 o'clock, the top seed, Sanborn Central Woonsocket, plays number 8, Sunshine Bible. Final first-round game of the day will have number 4 seed, James Valley Christian, and number 5 seed, Hitchcock Tulare. The rest of the area schedule going on for today. In a boys basketball, Redfield Dolan hosting the Pheasant Classic today in Redfield. Northwestern is at Miller. Girls basketball, Sanborn Central Woonsocket plays right away this morning against Howard at the Hanson Classic at the Mitchell Corn Palace. And there's hockey in town tonight as Huron will host Sioux Center. That's a look at the local schedule. Of course, 281 Conference Girls Basketball Tournament will continue on Monday with second round play, consolation games at 3:30 at the Huron Arena. Iroquois will play Wessington Springs. That'll be followed by James Valley Christian and Sunshine Bible. Then the semifinals Monday evening, Sanborn Central Woonsocket will play Woolsey Wessington. That'll be followed by Highmore Herald and Hitchcock Tulare. Couple of notes we do want to pass along for Huron High School Wrestling. Advanced ticket orders for the state wrestling tournament next month are being taken through next Wednesday at the Huron Arena Activities Office. This year's state wrestling is February 23rd and 24th at the Denny Sanford Premier Center in Sioux Falls. Couple of notes from Huron Little League. They're looking for a teener baseball coach for 13s and 14s for the upcoming summer. Coach will manage practices and also games for the U14 team. It is a paid position. Salary will be negotiated. Anyone interested should contact Huron Little League President Matt Wenzel, 280-2923. Huron Little League is also looking for a baseball umpire coordinator for the Little League complex for this summer. This is for the minors and majors divisions, the 8 through 12-year-olds. Again, this is a paid position. For more information, contact Huron Little League President Matt Wenzel at 280-2923. The 71st Annual South Dakota Amateur Basketball State Tournament will be held February 24th and 25th at the Huron Arena. Entry deadline is coming up next week on January 17th. Teams interested in participating in Class A or B may contact their regional commissioners to enter a region competition or go online at sdamateurbasketball.org. For more information, contact Kyle Johnston, 413-5322, or Tim Troyan, 695-6821. Minnesota Timberwolves continue to win. They won at Target Center again last night against the Knicks, 118-108. Nearly a triple-double for Carl Anthony Towns, 23 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists. Timberwolves are back in action tomorrow night. Dakota Sports Saturday coming up today. We'll hear from Wade Stobbs, basketball coach for the Huron Tigers, Tim Budenhagen, boys basketball coach as well. Darwin Hofer, James Valley Christian will be in to talk 281 Conference boys basketball, which starts today. Also have a few notes on Huron Tiger wrestling as well. That's all coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy. and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And don't forget, Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
Remember the stormy weather this past summer? Do you remember how well your insurance coverage responded? Don't learn the lesson of being properly insured the hard way. A free insurance review with Pearson Anderson Insurance has options to specifically cover you at a price you can live with. Let Pearson Anderson review your insurance program to make sure you're ready for the future. Pearson Anderson Insurance, insuring a brighter tomorrow. Give them a call today.
You've got Dakota Sports.
And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. First up this morning, we talk with Darwin Hofer, head boys basketball coach, Shanes Valley Christian School. The Vikings getting set to open play later today against Hitchcock Tulare, 281 Conference Basketball Tournament. First round for the boys. Girls had their first round last night. And Darwin's just kind of give an overview of the season. You're just about to the halfway point, 2-7 on the season. Obviously not the record you want, but you throw one game out that got out of hand just in the last few minutes. You've been in every game, you played some pretty good teams too.
Yeah, we really have. Our boys have definitely played with a lot of heart this year, and they've never given up, and that's a big key. As long as you can get your kids to play from start to finish and play hard, good things will happen, and we hope that's in the near future for us.
Well, just looking at the makeup of the team, it's almost being a little bit of a broken record. You really don't have much size. You have a lot of little guys that are very quick. They cover the court. You just don't have that a lot of guys that you can just put down on that block and say, throw it into him up high.
Yeah, it's definitely vertically challenged this year. But like I said, we play with a lot of heart. You know, Derek Thompson comes in as a junior at 6'4" and has been giving us some good minutes as of late. And you know, he can do some things in the paint, he rebounding and shot blocker, and he can score for us. And so we hopefully that'll pick up. But, you know, Darian Hood at 6'1" junior as well. He can, go coast to coast. He can get the rebound. He can take it the way. He can shoot threes. He can attack. You know, he can post up for us. So, you know, like I said, those guys battle hard inside. And the thing is, you know, we're almost, outsized in every opponent we play, every position of every opponent. So you gotta give a lot of credit to our guys for stepping up and playing against a bigger competition each night.
Well, talk about some of the kids. You mentioned a few there already, but I look at Michael Waldner, Ryan Wager. Those guys have been playing a lot of varsity ball for you.
Yeah, they have. Those guys have seen substantial minutes for 4 years now, coming off the bench their freshman and sophomore year. And, you know, if I look back, I would venture to say those kids have played every quarter for the last 4 years up to now. And so, you know, they've got a lot of experience. And, you know, having those type of individuals as teammates, you know, that you can look to and that you can help lead the team is awfully important to us. You know, they're seniors. They're going into the senior year, their conference tournament. And, you know, they want to come out on top, and they want to help lead this team.
Talk about a few of the other kids that you put on the floor as well.
Josh Weeding's another junior, first-year starter for us. At the end of last year, Josh broke his arm and wasn't able to play in districts. But Josh put a lot of time in the gym in the off-season, and that's really helped him as well. His three-point shot, his jump shot, just getting up and down the court. Braden Held is another junior for us. Keep mentioning a handful of juniors here. There might be a trend, but Braden Held's another junior for us. Comes off the bench and you know, looks to score for us. You know, he scored in double digits in about four or five of our games this year for us, coming off the bench. So anytime you can bring those bench points in, that's kind of nice. And he's just willing to do whatever it takes. A lot of times, you know, Braden at at 5'11", 6 foot, is going to guard, you know, post players inside, and he's willing to do that. He's willing to do whatever it takes, and that's what all these guys are able, and that's what makes coaching a team like this fun, is because they're just coachable. They just want to do whatever it takes to please the coach and try to get that win.
You know, you mentioned all those names, and then the thing that I started thinking is, you know, I think over the course of the season so far, four or five of those guys at one point or another have led you in scoring, so you got different guys that can get the hot hand.
You know, that's interesting. That's a big key for us. And, you know, we talk about that. We talk about scoring, and the thing is we want them all to put it together on the same night. You know, different games, different guys have done different things. Waggers had 31 before, and Waldner had 26 the other night, and held. And Weedings led us into scoring back in December in a game, and we want them to put it all together at the same night. And when we do that, we're going to start clicking here, and we're going to be a dangerous team when we can figure that out.
Well, you just look at this past week. You had Sully Buttes, and he had Sanborn Central Woonsocket. If I remember the schedule right, Sully Buttes was about the biggest contrast maybe between two teams that there can be in South Dakota, a football team. They're a team that went to the Dome last fall, and you have a soccer team.
Yeah, it really was. That was your David and Goliath matchup right there. And, you know, the thing is I think we kind of contained pretty decent inside against them. But they just shot lights out. I believe they were 8 for 16 from the three-point line for the game, and any team that's going to shoot 8 for 16, you got to tip your hat to. But then they were able to score inside, and we knew that. We knew we were going to give up some points. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we cut into their lead, and we headed down to 16 at the end. And, you know, we were encouraged by that. We were encouraged by able to do some things, and that game helped prepare us for the Sanborn Central game, which, you know, for us, they go 6-4, 6-4, and they can bring 6-4 off the bench as well. And when you're playing against teams with bigger post players, you know, each game you play helps prepare you for the next game. And those two games help prepare us for first round of conference tournament, which is Hitchcock-Tulare. And they're not quite that big, but they are bigger than we are.
And talk about that, Hitchcock-Tulare, obviously a team you're familiar with. Well, I don't think you're going to run into much mystery during the course of the next three games with the conference tournament. But I guess really just to kind of do an overview of it, the 281, that's what every kid on every team in that conference looks forward to. For the most part, this is the highlight of the regular season until you get to the playoffs.
It really is. For the coaches, this is our halfway point, and this is our measuring stick. By the time we get to this point, we can look back at our season and see where we've been and where we're going. And for the kids, they want to step up, especially, like I said earlier, the seniors. They want to go into this, and they want to win their senior year. You know, some of these kids have had success in previous years or seen the older kids have success, and they want to do the same thing. And going in against Hitchcock's a very athletic team. A lot of athletes on their team, and they can get up and down the court. And, you know, having watching them on game film, you know, they seem to be well coached, and they're disciplined. They're going to make some good decisions out there, and we've just got to make sure that, you know, we're ready for a game for the full 32 minutes.
You know, you're the 4 or 5 seed, so at least from that standpoint, should be the closest game of the tournament. But you look, there's, I don't know if, you know, Sanborn Central Woonsocket has the top seed, but I don't know if you can really grab one team and say, boy, somebody's going to have to put together a perfect game to beat any. There's a lot of teams that could come out here on Thursday night.
You're right. On any given night, I honestly think in the 281, anybody or most teams can beat anybody, especially the top four. Maybe 5 seeds could potentially beat each other. But, you know, once again, you've got to be able to put it together. You've got to be able to step up and knock those shots down. You know, and that's what Sanborn Central did to us the other night. They stepped up in the fourth quarter and won the battle of the fourth quarter. And good teams know how to win in those situations. And we're still looking for that. We're still looking to be able to step up in the fourth quarter. And you know what? We're not even halfway through. We shouldn't be peaking at this time of the year. Our record's going to change. It's definitely going to change by the time we get to the end of the season. So, you know, we need to look forward, and we need to keep playing for the full 32 minutes.
Well, cool. Other things I did want to bring up here. This is a year of change. You've been in South Dakota High School basketball for a long time here. And, boy, probably hard to find a time. I mean, you're not that old. You're younger than me. But anyway, when you look, you know, a couple of major changes this year in a Class B. And, you know, everybody's getting, you know, making changes now. And, well, I guess the game looks very similar now, all three classes. First off, talk about the addition of the shot clock. I know I talked to you right after it was passed, about a year before we actually instituted it. You thought at that time, I don't think it's going to be a major issue, just the way our style of play. And while I don't know if it's really come up a lot, it has surprised you a bit.
Yeah, it really has. You know, if we have a shot clock, we don't have a shot clock, we'll go either way, but they instituted it, got voted in, and so we have it. And so, you know, we'll deal with it just like every other team does. There are times we like to control the ball, but there's also times that we, you know, run and shoot, and we sometimes get the shakes if we don't shoot the ball inside 6 seconds. But, you know, it's a little more controlled tempo now. And, you know, the thing is I've seen teams that we played this year that at the end of a quarter will hold for that last shot, and we have as well, the last shot of maybe of the quarter, or we don't want to give our opponent two possessions in that last minute. If we can help it, we want to run the clock all the way down as well. But, you know, it's just one of those things you have to adapt to. And, you know, each game, it's a challenge. And I think early on, the one thing I really noticed, whether it was a boys game or a girls game, was when the buzzer went off, you know, everyone's stop play. And you don't stop until you hear the official's whistle blow. That's when you stop. And so I think that was kind of early on, and that can be corrected, you know, quite easily. But, you know, as far as the shot clock goes, we'll deal with it just like everyone else does.
You know, and just your thoughts, the addition of it. Obviously, you didn't have a choice in the matter, but bottom line, there's reasons that teams wanted in. There's reasons why people voted for it.
Yeah, there is. And I think one of those aspects was it's just such a slow-paced ball game. People wanted to, you know, when they pay a ticket price, they want to see a game that goes up and down. They don't want to see teams that sit on a ball and stall. And, you know, and over the years, you know, we've held the ball at the end of the quarter or near the end of the ball game and made our opponent foul us. And you know, you just can't do that in this situation. But you can still hold. You still have 35 seconds. That's an awful lot of time. You just have to be a good clock manager. And some teams are going to adapt to it, and some teams are going to have more of a struggle with it.
Then the other thing, too, and I guess you kind of got to look at, see how it's going to work with volleyball season. Then, of course, the round of 16, basically no district. You do play out a region until you get down to the top two. And until you really go through it, I'm sure you still have some reservations on what's actually going to happen. But bottom line is that's something you do. I noticed you wanted to see how Arlington did, how DeSmit did, you know, where maybe you're not paying that much attention to that east side before this year.
Well, you still take a peek. You take a peek at everyone.
Yeah.
You know, you even look West River, you look up north, and you look south. You just, you know, if you're really interested in basketball, you're going to check scores all over. And, yeah, you do. You want to take a look right now to see who, you know, Castlewood's the number one seed in our region right now, and you want to see how they're faring. And Arlington played Dubuque last night, and both of those teams are seated ahead of us right now. And so you want to take a look at that and just see where they go. You know, sometimes seed points are seed points, and you know, you want to beat those teams with a good record, and you want to have a, you know, right now it's quite important to have a tough schedule. It's better to play against teams with a better record because those points mean so much more when you get to that Sweet 16 or when you get to the seeding, and so you want to have your seed points. But, you know, going into this, it's another adaptation, and we just got to be ready to go with it. And you do take a look. You know, there's no more district. You're just playing a region, and the games are going to be the same. It's still going to be a tournament atmosphere. You're just going to be playing, you know, somebody different outside of your typical five or six teams in your district.
Well, I think, you know, the district here is a good example. For years now, this has been a purely 281 district. So you went into that district every year knowing what everybody had. All of a sudden, you know, it gets thrown up a little more here than in the past.
Yeah, it really has. You know, we don't play Castlewood in regular season. We don't play Dubuque. We don't play Arlington. I think we cover everyone else in our region, but, you know, there's three teams right there that, you know, we don't know much about, and, you know, except if you see them on the cube or in person. And, you know, and they're going to be going into the same thing, the teams that don't, from the east that don't play us. And it'll be interesting. It really will. But it's that tournament atmosphere, and it's just nice to see that, you know, we have the opportunity to get two teams out of our region. And wouldn't it be nice to get two teams from the 281 conference in the state tournament?
Well, we have done that a few times.
Yeah, you're right, we have. But, I mean, as far as ours yeah. and our, have been in our district here, you know, back I know when I was at Dubrook, we had Elkton and Del Rapids St. Mary's in the state championship game, and both teams were in our conference, and both teams battled into the conference championship tournament game. And, you know, that's just a feather in that conference hat, and it just goes to show sometimes how tough the 281 conference really is, if we can pull that off.
Yeah, so Darwin Ofer, head coach, James Valley Christian. Again, they play final game today at the 281 tournament, first round for the boys, as they are match up with Hitchcock Tuler, scheduled start time at about 5:30 over in Woolsey. Take a time out, come back. We'll talk here on Tiger Girls Basketball next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're there when you need us. That is the motto that Farmers Union Insurance lives by. They know that when a loss occurs, you deserve their immediate attention. Huron area agent Pearson Anderson Insurance teams up with their loss representative to settle your loss and give you the attention that you deserve. Quality, commitment, and pride. Call Pearson Anderson Insurance in Huron and become a satisfied policyholder with insuring a brighter tomorrow.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And don't forget, Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back here, and we talk here on Tiger Girls Basketball with head coach Wade Stobbs. The Tiger Girls led by one at the half, but a third quarter put Watertown in the lead, and then they went on to an 11-point victory, or 10-point victory, actually. The boys were 11-point. Wade, I know you probably haven't seen a whole lot on the boys' game, but that's where I was last night, and both games were about the same. Watertown up one with the boys, Huron up one with the girls. And then the third quarter, Watertown just able to just came right out of the gate. I think you said it was a 6-0 run, and all of a sudden your girls were kind of in catch-up mode again.
Yeah, you know, we played a really good first half, did a lot of good things, you know, went into the locker room, tried to take advantage, you know, they were denying hard, didn't have a lot of help side, talked about a few things, and we come out in the second half, and two quick turnovers, two quick layups for them. They get out on that little 6-0 run. I think it ended up like a 10-2 run to begin the third quarter. And then they went out to an 18-6 third quarter on us. And we just couldn't catch up from there. Just kind of played them even and, you know, take away probably about a 2 to 3 minute stretch there. And the game was really, really even.
Yeah, really, that's what it comes down to. One run and covering 3 minutes, and then the other 29 minutes, you're pretty much just going head-to-head.
Yeah, you know, and our girls battled, worked hard, worked their tails off defensively. Watertown shot the ball well. I think they shot just over 50% on the game, you know, and that's tough. You know, I mean, we shot in the 40s, but we just didn't get that many shots up. We had 22 turnovers on the night, shoot 14 of 31. You know, only getting 31 shots up is not a lot of shots.
Yeah, that's one, you know, less than one shot a minute, and really that, you know, if you can just get all facets together, that's really about all it's going to take. You shoot the ball a little better, but not enough, but yet the turnovers kind of counter that.
Yeah, you know, and Watertown was 1-7 coming in, but they're better than a 1-7 team. You know, three of their losses, four of their losses, they had Brandon Valley, top three team right now, Harrisburg, top three team, they had them beat. Harrisburg had to beat them on a last second three-pointer, at the buzzer to win by two, so they were down with basically as the buzzer went off, they were still down until the ball went through the hoop. And then Aberdeen Central played them really tough. And then they played a good Sioux Falls O'Gorman team. It was one of their losses. So, you know, they've played some really good teams and played some really good teams pretty tight. So, you know, I knew 1-7 coming in, you know, wasn't an accurate gauge on where Watertown was. And we played them toe-to-toe for, you know, all but 3 minutes.
When you look at some of the numbers there, it's Haven Hines had was in double figures. I think Jada Schillingstad 8 or 9 points. Talk about those two. They basically didn't come off the floor, it looks like.
Yeah, they did not. You know, those two were on the floor constantly for me. Gracie Schoenfelder played really well for us last night. Ended up with, I believe, 6 points and 12 rebounds. She rebounded well. Guarded the Tetzloff girl really well. Got into a little foul trouble. Ended the third on a rebound and had to sit her a little bit there, beginning to end of the third, beginning of the fourth. Was able to get her back in there. But, you know, those girls we rely on quite a bit to do a lot for us.
You know, and I was going to mention Gracie next, too. You know, she's not a big scorer, but she does those other two jobs very well, a defender and a rebounder. It's hard to push her out of the lane.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and she's our big, you know. We're not very big the way it is, and she guards the biggest girl on the court every single night. She's probably 5'10", but she works her tail off. You know, she's a strong girl, does what you ask her to. You know, defensively, we'll front, we'll play behind a little bit, depending on what you ask, and then we'll always rebound. I think she had 19 rebounds against Pierre 12 last night. So, you know, she does the little things that not a lot of people see.
You see, and you saw some good steps there. You know, we've talked about how, you know, like the second quarter has always been an issue. Well, now we got it down where it was just about 2.5, 3 minutes was the issue. It's there. You just need that one play, that one defensive stop, you know, like for a game like last night.
Yeah, and we need the ball to bounce our direction one time. You know, it seems like every time there's a loose ball or something, it'll get bounced to the other team, and our girls are out there working their tails off, and you know, just a couple easy buckets goes their way, and you know, we can't get back from that. You know, we need to play the perfect game right now. You know, the ESD girls basketball right now is really good all the way through. Even if you look out west, Rapid City Stevens got beat by Sturgis last night. Saw that score, and that one just kind of blew my mind a little bit, you know. But, you know, on any given night, it just shows that anybody can beat anybody.
And that's the thing, you know. We've talked about handicaps enough. Bottom line is your roster is what it is. The girls just have to learn that they have to make up for the lack of height. And, you know, Watertown, kind of a tall team, and, you know, they have competed with the very best of the state. Like I said, you know, we had the loss to Harrisburg last week by 30. Watertown, by all rights, had them beat.
Yeah, you know, and that's girls basketball. I mean, that's high school basketball. On any given night, you know, I think I watched the boys' scores last night, and Harrisburg ended up beating Aberdeen Central by close to 30. You know, and Aberdeen Central is the favorite coming into the season, and nobody was going to touch them. So, you know, it happens in boys. It happens in girls. There's going to be upsets, and we just got to keep the faith.
Yeah, look at St. Thomas More girls. 40-some game winning streak snapped last night by West Central in overtime.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it can happen. I mean, and we just got to keep playing hard. Eventually that ball is going to bounce our direction, and we're going to get a couple breaks, and we'll get that first W, and who knows what can happen from there. We just got to keep our confidence and keep playing hard.
Well, you look ahead to next week, Tuesday on the road down to Mitchell for a doubleheader, and then Friday Brandon Valley comes in. I think Brandon Valley will be the last team that we get a chance to see in the ESD, but you know, obviously the focus is Tuesday on Mitchell, not only because that's the next game, but it's the Mitchell game.
Yeah, you know, Mitchell, it's the second time we're going to see him. The first time we played him, we played a really good first half. Then our legs kind of went down on us, so we're going to come into that one with some fresh legs. Hopefully we'll handle their pressure a little bit better. Expecting them the full court, you know, kind of got us in the second half that first time we played them. So we're going to work on that on Monday when we come into practice there and go from there, you know. And they had a girl move in, a factor. Well, she is a factor. Her name, yeah. Last name's Factor, but she was a huge factor for them the first time we played them and watching the games they've played. So, you know, that was a big pickup for them. And they've always had the inside girls, and now they added another guard to their roster.
You know, and, we've been talking about Harrisburg. Mitchell pushed Harrisburg this week. I think it was a 4-point game.
Yeah, and Mitchell led most of the game. I watched that one on YouTube. You know, you always kind of nice when you can watch those games and not leave your house, but I was able to watch that one, and Mitchell led, pretty much all game long. Harrisburg came back, probably led the last 3-4 minutes of the game, but it was always tight, and Mitchell was always right there. So, you know, it's one of those games. Mitchell's a very good team, you know, a much improved team. They're a good basketball team, and, you know, we're going to have to play well to go there and get a win.
You know, and we're getting right about to the halfway point here. I think after Monday, we are at the halfway point, and bottom line is the girls just have to stay focused. You know, it's a little discouraging when you're still winless here in the middle of January, but it's not like we haven't had our chances, not like we haven't seen steps moving forward. And I suppose one thing is just to keep that psyche on the positive.
Yeah, you know, we have to stay positive. You know, in order to get that first W, you know, you have to stay positive. The girls have been working hard. They've had good attitudes practice-wise, game-wise. You know, we just got to stay with it, and eventually it'll come. You know,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, everybody deals with it. You look back a few years ago, Harrisburg, I think my first year here, 4 years ago, Harrisburg started the year 0-9 or something like that, and then the 0-10, something, and then they come back and ended up making the state tournament that year. Not to say that can't happen with us, but, you know, it's things like that can happen. You know, just to get on a roll, get some breaks, and good things can happen.
Wade Stobbs, head coach of the Huron Tiger girls basketball, again, a loss last night. They get set to hit the road to Mitchell on Tuesday. Still to come, we'll talk some Huron Tiger boys basketball and wrestling coming up on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Dakota Sports.
Good morning, back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll get an update now on Huron Tiger boys basketball with head coach Tim Buttenhagen. Comments after the game last night. Tigers lost to Watertown in Watertown, 55-44. Watertown up one at halftime, but then they go on an 8-0 run in less than 2 minutes to open the second half, and Huron never recovered from that as Watertown goes on for the victory, 55-44. A familiar theme developed once again as the Huron Tigers struggled mightily on offense last night. Nobody was in double figures. The shooting percentage was still down in the 30s, and until we solve that, it's just kind of hard to win games.
No, when they hit 10 threes, we can't score that many points. And we got to try to find a way to score 50. We just can't do it right now. We held them to 55, and they still hit 10 threes. And we held them to 55. But we got to try to find a way to score 50, and we just haven't done it right now consistently. We haven't gotten any consistent scores right now. So we're going to have to go back to the drawing board this weekend, work hard, and come up with a game plan for next week.
You know, offensively, I just felt we never looked comfortable out there when Watertown dropped in that 1-3-1 zone. We just kept getting ourselves trapped. And, you know, like I said, you know, there was a couple of plays maybe in the first half where we had some open looks and just didn't drop. Maybe that makes a difference. Bottom line, they didn't, and it didn't.
Well, what happened was we start out the second half, missed two layups. And then when you miss two layups and they knock down two threes, that's a separation that they needed. Now their 1 point is the 7. Now the next one is 10. And then it's lights out and we're over. And then we make a great, I thought we made a good run in the third quarter, got to 7. And then we make a boneheaded play. We try to dive 95 feet from the basket, give a guy a wide open three at the end, and he banks it. I know it's a long shot, but all you got to do is stay in front of the guy. Instead, two guys whiff at the ball, you know, and I can see where one of them does because he's guarding it, but the other one's guarding the inbounder. Let them throw it backwards. There's only 7 seconds. Well, we get to let them go on the run. They knock it down, and that really, I think, deflated us.
You know, and the Johnston kid, the kid who made it, well, he had the hot hand anyway. They got the ball to the guy with the hot hand.
Yep, he already, I think he made two in that quarter, and then he stepped up and hit another one, and then number two comes in, and he starts hitting threes. I thought we took McClemens away pretty well. I thought we took Flory away after the first half, but we just didn't have an answer for their threes. And again, when you miss layups and you can't convert on the offensive end, it makes it awfully tough when they're on the run and hitting shots to play good defense.
You know, so now we got the weekend to think about it. Not a lot of turnaround time, really. And I go down to Mitchell on Tuesday. Mitchell, a hungry club, still winless. But, you know, they're looking for that first win. They are playing better. They've had a couple of good fights in them.
Yeah, they have. And they're going to lick their chops because we're coming to town. And it's a rivalry game, obviously. And the last team they beat was us. So, you know, everything is momentum is shifting their way. But, you know, again, we got to try to find a way to get out of the rut that we're in. But we just, I mean, the effort, the toughness, the rebound. I thought the rebounding was atrocious in the first half. There are balls out there that all we need to do is, you know, step and go get. And Watertown was a step ahead of us the entire night, and we haven't played all week. So I don't know what we're doing wrong, but we're going to have to figure that out.
Tim Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball. His comments after the game last night as Watertown pulls away in the second half, defeats Huron 55-44. Huron drops to 2-7 on the season. Weekend off and down to Mitchell, the Corn Palace. Doubleheader with the Colonels Tuesday evening over on Tiger 95. We'll take a timeout, come back and wrap things up. Talk some Huron Tiger wrestling as well. That's next on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And don't forget, Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
Stop in for a free insurance review at Pearson Anderson Insurance, handling insurance needs for auto, home, farm, business, and life. It only makes good sense for you to call Farmers Union Insurance Agent Pearson Anderson in Huron. Pearson Anderson offers the benefit of a company doing business in rural America for over 50 years that stand by the slogan, Insuring a Brighter Tomorrow. Give them a call today.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And we wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk some Huron Tiger wrestling with head coach Dan McCarty. Tigers just had one competition this week. They dueled in Watertown on a Thursday night, lost the duel 42-24. Huron had four open weights, so they spotted Watertown 24 points right there. If you look at the 10 matches that were wrestled, Huron won 6 out of the 10, and from a point standpoint, won there 24-18. But filling the weights, that's been an issue throughout the season for Huron. Also coming out with a little fire, too, as well. Coach McCarty talked about that after the match on Thursday night. We saw it some in the Brandon Valley home duel last week as well. Guys just need to come out and wrestle strong. And Coach McCarty said kind of practice that way, and it showed a little bit on Thursday.
It did. It was frustrating as a coach. It was, you know, I was expecting one to win the 10 matches or win 9 of the 10 matches or at least be really competitive in all 9 of those. And it was 3 matches. I don't think we were really competitive. And a couple that we won, we didn't look really, really good doing that. It was, you know, on the other hand, guys like Chipper and Zach, I thought they wrestled a fantastic match. And, you know, Zach has wrestled up a couple weight classes. He's taken out a ranked kid and wrestled a very smart match against him.
You know, and a couple other guys, too. We liked what Gabe Rieger did because he had to work for that against a senior there from Watertown, winning that one 8-5. And that was just kind of, you called it the Watertown shuffle. We called it aggressively stalling. You know, these Watertown kids and a couple of those weights were a little frustrating just to wrestle with.
Yeah, they are. It's in Watertown is lucky. They have a lot of kids off of wrestling. They have a lot of different practice partners. You know, they've got a great tradition up in Watertown. They've been a good wrestling team, I think, since the 60s or since Marv Sherrill started, and they've just continued with all the different coaches they've had, with a couple different coaches they've had. They're a well-coached team. They know how to wrestle against someone that's better than you.
We found that out against Sturgis quite a few years ago, about 10 years ago, how to wrestle against someone that's better than you, and our kids capitalized on that, and maybe some of our kids will learn how to slow a match down and keep it close so we're not getting pinned or getting tossed in some of these situations.
Well, you look at Chip Schillingstad, wins by fall, minute 31, and I imagine he took a little frustration out on that. He loses Friday. You hold him out Saturday at the Brandon Valley Invite due to the shoulder issue. He just wanted to get out and wrestle.
It is. It was, it was Chipper's style of wrestling. He's very aggressive. He's always looking for a way to pin somebody. It's a lot of his moves are very unorthodox, but there's somehow he's athletic enough that he can turn goofy-looking moves into a pin for him.
Then Tajay Jenkins-Harris, Wyatt Larson, I kind of grouped them together. They weren't their sharpest. They kind of let the Watertown wrestler stay in it, but they were good enough to come out at the end.
Yeah, they did. I thought the same thing. Tajay looked really good coming off right off the whistle, got the takedown, and then tried to ride him up, but tried to get a turn, and he couldn't get a turn on top, and second period couldn't get that turn, and Tajay, I think, gave him an escape and gave up a penalty point, making it a really close match, which it shouldn't have been, I don't think, but it's a learning thing, and he is young. He's a very good wrestler, but he's young. He's only a sophomore, and Wyatt was making some really goofy mistakes. A lot of times it looked like a middle school match out there, the way they were rolling around. But at the end, it's not so much about style; it's about results, and Wyatt found a way to win at the end.
Then Travis Kleinsasser and Gabe Rieger's match is kind of the same, where I think they got a little frustrated with how their opponent was wrestling. Travis finally got his move there, was just over a minute to go, got the win by fall, so give him credit, he stayed with it.
Yeah, you're right, he did. He stayed with it. He was aggressive, and it was a close match. I think it was 4-0 when Travis pinned him, but Travis was in complete control of the match. It's a good thing for our team, a good thing for Travis, that Travis was working to get a pin and he ended up with a pin. And then Gabe, he did a lot of good things there. Gabe is still learning also. It's his first year of varsity. He keeps improving every time he goes out there. He had a really good weekend for us last weekend, and he followed it up with a win. Sometimes it's hard after a big weekend to win your next match, and he was able to do that.
And Zach Simmons, you're 6'5", use those legs. He sure does.
Yes, he did. And, it's goofy, he's 6'5", but although he's getting on his shots, and he did a fantastic job. I thought when he went out there, he tried to wrestle Stiles title of the match, but, get upper body and start throwing things. And I think if Zach would have done that, he would have been in trouble. And when Zach got out of that, and he started working his shots, and Zach wrestled a very good match then.
Now, as you look ahead here, this is the only competition for this week, so weekend off, and then you come back with a duel at Yankton on Thursday, I believe it is, and then go to Chamberlain on Saturday for a tournament. And Chamberlain, I know it's a fairly new tournament, but I know you like it just because get to see some different kids again, and most importantly, you see some of those other teams in the region you don't otherwise get to see.
Yeah, it is. It's the Chamberlain tournament has changed a little bit this year. A couple teams got out, and then they added a couple more. They put in Harrisburg this year and Aberdeen. Both those schools, they were in the Pentagon tournament, and the Pentagon dropped, and schools were fighting to find a tournament for that weekend, and Chamberlain was generous enough to say that those two could come in. So there's going to be 11 teams in that tournament. It's two mats. It's going to be a long day of wrestling. It's going to be a long day of wrestling. I hope we're home by midnight. But it's going to be good wrestling for us because we get to Todd County is there, Eagle Butte is there, Chamberlain is there, Mitchell is there, Millbank is there, and we're there, and they're all region schools, and each time we match up with them, it's we have to be wrestling our best at going for that region seeding in a couple weeks after that. And I guess Aberdeen's in there also, so one thing we're really missing is Pierre.
Here on Tiger Wrestling, Coach Dan McCarty comments after the dual loss on Thursday in Watertown. The varsity JV are off this weekend, but they're still going to be busy. The Huron Middle School Invitational is at the arena starting here later on this morning. And then tomorrow, Huron Youth Wrestling has their annual Invitational as well. That'll be at the arena too, so going to be busy around the Huron Arena today and tomorrow with a lot of youth wrestling going on. And, of course, varsity JV members are also going to be involved with that, reffing and helping run the tournament as well. So going to be busy there around the arena today and tomorrow. Coming up later on today here on KOKK, first round 281 Conference Boys Basketball Tournament over in Woolsey. They will start at 1 o'clock. We'll be on the air at about 12:45 with the pregame. Four games right in a row here on KOKK. NFL playoffs going on this weekend as well. We're in our busiest stretch of the year for sure through next Friday. It's the busiest we are for the play-by-play season, so lots going on, and we'll keep you updated here on Dakota Sports. Dakota Sports Saturday brought to you by Pearson Anderson, Farmers Union Insurance, Slumberland Furniture, and the Nordby Center for Recreation. Mike Hendrickson and the Sports Max coming up shortly. Up next will be Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Monty James for the Territorial Rodeo Update. Besides the national finals, we've been in the doldrums for the last few months. Not a lot going on in the world of pro rodeo. Now we kick it into high gear with a national western in Denver in full swing to the 21st. No matter how you slice it, that is just a tremendous rodeo, one of our favorites. But I would have to rate the Black Hills Stock Show and Rodeo even a little bit better on the rodeometer. If you haven't, you need to. Over 300 western vendors, big all-breeds cattle show, world-class rodeo crafted by our friends at Sutton Rodeo Company. Legendary Rodeo, the Black Hills Stock Show, January 26th through February 4th. Speaking of legends, or let me tell you about discountwesternwear.com.
Cowboys and wannabes, it doesn't matter whether you live in Wyoming or Iowa, it's worth the drive to make the pilgrimage to America's best western store since 1954, the famous Young's Western Wear in Valentine, Nebraska. Drive that extra mile and see their stunning inventory of all the top brands of boots, hats, duds, western gear, and tack. Can't make the trip? We'll take a gander at their best selection online at discountwesternwear.com. Proud to be a third-generation family-owned business for 61 years, Young's Westernwear, purveyor of all things cowboy.
We're going to wait till the smoke clears after Denver to bring you a brand new set of standings. We have some intriguing breaking news coming down this morning from the PRCA. Let me hold my hand in my ear, put my Les Nessman glasses on, and here we go. This just in, Dateline Colorado Springs, Colorado. The Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association has named George Taylor its chief executive officer. Taylor is a former executive at Caterpillar, where he was most recently a company officer and vice president with responsibility for the marketing and digital division. Okay. Taylor takes over for Carl Stressman, who retired as PRCA commissioner after 9 years at the helm. Taylor will begin his job as CEO on January 22nd. Why not just wait till the 1st? I'm just saying. Taylor has built a reputation as a big-picture thinker who can manage and inspire people on a day-to-day basis. He's known for his positive attitude. He's keenly aware of how digital solutions impact customers and business. Okay? I know what you're thinking. What in the hell does he know about rodeo? Hey, it gets better. Before moving to Colorado Springs, Taylor lived in Snowmass, Colorado, where he enjoyed numerous outdoor activities, including hiking, biking, and snowboarding. You can take a gander at old George on our Facebook page at Territorial Rodeo Update. Nice suit, by the way. Looks like he has plenty of brains, too. Big old noggin. Bet he has to use a mattress as a pillow. I'll stop picking on George now. I'm sure he's a great guy. Don't see anything even remotely about rodeo horses or cattle on his resume, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We just hope he studies up on his lingo and isn't shouting out words like lasso instead of rope, chaps instead of chaps, coyote instead of coyote, and bucking bronco instead of, you know, saddle bronx. Sorry about the roasting there, Jorge. It's our job here at the TRU. Welcome aboard, Buckaroo. Thanks to our sponsors at DiscountWesternWear.com and Legendary Sioux Steel Company. Monty James for the Territorial Rodeo Update.
If you enjoy wasting money or gifting money to the tax man, then don't visit your local Premier Equipment dealer and definitely don't go to PremierEQSD.com. But if you enjoy saving money on new and used equipment of all shapes, colors, and applications, check out the thousands of units priced to sell and then some at PremierEQSD.com. Take an extra 10% off all service, parts, and trucking at your local Premier shop. Happy New Year and a prosperous 2018 from the Linsco Farm family-owned Premier Equipment locations.
Reg Kleinsaucer's here from the Real Estate Connection. Now, the Real Estate Connection, it's located on Dakota Avenue South. You can call the office at 352-1300. You can call Reg directly if you'd like, 350-2223. He'll help you sell your home or your business or your hunting ground or your farm ground. Or if you're looking to buy any of those things, he can help you do that too. That's right. Reg is here from the Real Estate Connection. Reg, how you doing?
We're doing good, Matt.
Hey, it's a good day to sell a house, I think.
It's a great day.
Or maybe like five.
five.
We
or
sold
six.
Five houses?
Yeah, sure.
That'd be a pretty good day, right?
It'd be a great day.
Now, you guys obviously got a whole bunch of the properties. Oh, we usually get the wild update. We've reached mid-season, right? Where are we standing-wise as we've reached mid-season here?
We're kind of mid-pack. We just beat the Chicago Blackhawks the other night.
Hey, I like that.
That was good.
I like that. Yeah. Anytime the Wild beat the Blackhawks, that's a good day. That's like the Vikings could be 0-15. But to beat the Packers, that makes the season right
exactly.
there. Sort of like the Blackhawks and the Wild.
Exactly.
So. All right, go Wild. Climb in the standings. Also, go buy a house. Buy it from this guy, Reg Kleinsauce. So, Reg, what did you bring for properties for us today?
Well, we want to talk this morning about a couple of new listings that we have just come on the market. We've got a three-bedroom, three pretty nice-sized bedrooms, one-bath home. This is 437 Lawn Ridge Avenue Southeast. There's three large bedrooms. There's newer shingles and smart lap siding, central air, detached double garage. There's also an extra lot with this property. So you've got the house on one lot, but right next door, attached to it, is another 44 by 150 lot. So you've got some space there if you're looking for a little elbow room maybe. Don't like to be quite so close to the neighbors. This might be a property that would interest you. One of the best parts of this is that it's listed at $49,000. So drive by, take a look, 437 Lawn Ridge Southeast, three bedrooms, $49,000. We also want to talk about a couple